Track 5. This month, Norfolk hosts a nature spectacle to rival any you'll see on our TV screens.
Picture the scene. Viewed from above, a mighty herd of wildebeest flows across the southern Serengeti, darkening acre upon acre of the plain. Here and there, among them, the broad-striped rumps of zebras can be seen. In the monsoon clouds above are white-backed vultures circling in their hundreds, watching for the afterbirths of newborn antelopes. Through the lows of countless thousand wildebeest and the whinnying calls of zebras, another familiar sound is heard. The breathy voice of David Attenborough. The voice of nature in the English language. I could go on. Caribou migrating through the icy forests of Alaska, scarlet ibis thronging to their roost in Trinidad, megapods of common dolphins off the west of Mexico. The priceless wildlife of our Earth, exquisitely filmed, produced, narrated. But there's a problem. Not with Sir David Attenborough, of course, nor with the BBC Natural History Unit or with Animal Planet per se. But with the illusion that great wildlife spectacles are always somewhere else on Earth, on other continents, beyond our sphere of influence. And that to experience them, we need the television, the internet, and sage celebrities. We don't. Right here in Norfolk, we have wildlife spectacles of world significance and fame. And August is the month for one of them. On just a few dates every year in August and September, lunar, planetary and tidal forces all align to bring us birds from right across the Arctic Circle. On the right tides, thousands upon thousands of them seethe around the southern edge of the Wash, the priceless, salty, muddy wilderness we share with Lincolnshire and we care for on behalf of planet Earth. Tens of thousands of these birds, at times, more than 100,000 are red knot. In August, many knot are still in coppery breeding plumage. As they swirl, like winter flocks of starlings before the rising tide, they switch from terracotta throats and chests to silvered backs and wings, thousands of them all at once. Perhaps a peregrine will harry them, punching a window through the burnished flock. Perhaps some other threat will force them skywards until their tired wings stroke the clouds. There is no wildlife spectacle on Earth to match them. These tundra breeding knot have come to Norfolk from two distant regions of the Arctic. Many are from Greenland and northeast Canada. These birds will likely spend the winter on the Wash, fading to plain greyish plumage as the days grow short. Thousands of others are from Siberia. They are only staging on the Wash, feeding on the abundance of invertebrate life here, regaining fat before their mighty journey onward to West Africa. According to a recent RSPB report, flocks of numerous other Arctic birds can surpass 10,000 individuals on the Wash. As with knot, dunlin from several regions of the Arctic and subarctic pass through the Wash or stay for winter. British and Scandinavian birds migrate in August. They are bound for winter grounds in Africa. Greenland birds, though scarce here, are also bound for Africa. Birds breeding on the Arctic north of Scandinavia and in Russia stay on the Wash through winter. At their peak, in autumn, dunlin on the Wash can number almost 30,000 birds. Oyster catchers are the next most numerous. Though some birds breed around the Wash and likely stay all year, the big flocks come from coastal Norway. At their peak, oyster catchers on the silty vastness of the Wash can number 25,000 birds. Lapwings, grey plovers, golden plovers, bar-tailed godwits and widgeon too all come in flocks of more than 10,000 birds. This is a peerless place, a precious heritage of the world, and we are blessed to live by it. If only we would notice. The problem of the Wash is that it is, by nature, inaccessible. On the one hand, this is good. It means these flocks of Arctic breeding birds and the immense populations of marine invertebrates that sustain them are protected from disturbance. But on the other hand, we're blinded to this treasure on our coastal doorstep. It is easy to appreciate a nature reserve on land. In August, many species, even entire landscapes, are at their finest. This is the time for exploring heathland, smouldering with the blooms of bell heather, common ling and western gorse. On short grassland and in the brecks, autumn gentians are in flowering now. Above wetlands, common and ruddy darters and migrant hawkers fly in squadrons, hunted by fledgling hobbies. And we can visit all these things. We can touch the soil and water that sustain these many species and be thankful they are in the hands of sensitive landowners or conservation NGOs. But we can't visit the wash or touch its life-sustaining mud. It is somewhere we can only look on, bleak, tidal, even treacherous. We see but fleetingly into the lives of the hundreds of thousands of migrant birds which visit, need the wash each year. And we can only imagine the lives of the billions of bivalves, worms, crustaceans and microorganisms that support them. So there's our nature homework for this August. Look at the wash and simply wonder. Wonder at the complex interaction of the gravity of the moon and sun that makes the tide. Wonder at our planet's axial tilt relative to our source of energy, the sun, which causes the Arctic Circle to experience a bloom of light and life in summer, and a bloom of birds, which every autumn must head south. Wonder at the sediments oozing from the great mouth of the Humber, which are recycled as the vibrant mudflats of the wash. Wonder at these miracles all combining on our coast of Norfolk. And wonder at our responsibility to cherish and preserve this unique, fragile wilderness and the trillion mouths it feeds.